better. All right, so today we celebrate the great Hosanna Rabbah, which means the great save now. And actually, in John chapter 7, if you have a Bible, you can turn there with me. John chapter 7. This is, I like pre-introductions. This is like my pre-introduction to my message, which is really from Genesis. But it is Sukkot, and it is we are celebrating the great Hosanna Rabbah, the great save now. And in John chapter 7 and verse 2, it tells us that it was the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of Sukkot, was at hand. And Jesus' brothers came to him, verse 3, and they said, "Depart hence and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." And what I want to take away from that is that even those closest to Jesus and his own brothers didn't believe in him, and they were pushing him to do something out of his timing, and he didn't go. And yet, later on, he does go up to the feast, and he goes up to the feast. It's interesting in verse 10, "But when his brothers were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret." And you know, the song that Tony and her mom just sang kind of fits there in the sense that, you know, we like acclaim as human beings. God is so much the opposite. He's worthy of all acclaim. But he doesn't have this pride that needs to have acclaim.
Yeah.
And he, as the song was, his presence is there even when we don't know it. And I actually believe that God loves to be around us sometimes even when we don't know it. He loves to be unseen in some ways. It's kind of like parents. Sometimes you get to watch your children and they don't know that you're watching them. And you kind of sometimes have a blast because they don't know that you're watching them. And I believe God is like that with us sometimes. And even for Jesus, and for him to accomplish what he needed to accomplish, he often needed to walk softly and quietly with his Father, and not necessarily openly until the appropriate time. And so then, and we go down to verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, see, now it was time. The last day of the feast. And you know, in the Feast of Sukkot, there is this tradition of a pouring of water, a libation ceremony at the end of the feast. And the rabbis even recognized that there was some connection between the Spirit of God and that water. So this is when Jesus gets up. See, his timing is always right.
Yeah.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
"This spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus talks about, from him comes this living water, which is ultimately the Holy Spirit, which God has given to us as believers and poured out at Pentecost.
Yes.
Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Not according to our thinking or to our logic, but according to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now I'm going to attempt to transition here to Genesis chapter 3, which we have been in. And I do miss the PowerPoint when we're outside, but I'll do the best I can. The title of this message is, Who Told You? Who told you? When we looked at verse 10, I talked about this unique pronoun. God says, Ayetka, to Adam, where are you? Adam is hiding. Adam and Eve have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They've sewed fig leaves together because they recognize that they're naked. And now they're hiding for the first time ever from the creator of the universe. And God calls out to them. And in Ayetka is even a sense of dismay. And I talked about this, that if we understand the fellowship that exists in the Trinity from all of eternity, and then God creates a man in his own image, there's unbroken fellowship in the Trinity. There's unbroken fellowship with the man. And now the man has eaten from this tree, and the man is hiding. And there is broken fellowship. And God is crying, Where are you? What's happened? And the man replies, we talked about this last week, the man replies, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid. Verse 11 is what we're looking at today. I'll read it in the Hebrew first. Vayomer, mi hagid lacha ki aron. Ata hamon hamin ha'et asheret sivitecha levilti achal mimenu achalta. And he, Yahweh, spoke or said, Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I charged or warned you against eating from? And did you eat? The first question here that God asked the man is, Who told you?
Yeah.
Do you know, the man never answered that question. The man eventually shifts blame and says, The woman who you gave to me, she took and she ate, and then I ate. But Adam never answers the question that God actually asked first, which is, Who? Not what have you done, but who told you that you were naked? Where did this information come from?
Whoa.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah.
Me. In Hebrew, if any of you know Hebrew, Hebrew pronouns are a little bit of fun. Because he is who. Let me see. He is who. Me is who. He is she. It. You got to remember which one you're going from, English or Hebrew. Okay. Who is he? He is she, and me is who? But God says here, Who told you? And an interesting commentary on this, or one of my favorite commentaries, is, or I should say, favorite translations, is actually the Septuagint, the Greek. Because the Greek says, kai epen auto, tis anagelin su ati guminos. Anagelin, who announced that you were naked? Who announced, who declared, who publicly declared?
Whoa.
Remember, Jesus, if we connect this even to John chapter 7, his brothers wanted him to declare himself openly. They wanted to make the public declaration.
Whoa.
They wanted the information out. See, there's an interesting thing about this word. I was looking at this word. It has a similar root to euangelion. Does anybody know what euangelion is? It's the gospel. That's the good news. Euangelion is where we get the word gospel from. the good news versus anagelin, which is translated information from the midst. Ana is actually a preposition or a suffix in Greek of in the middle. So where did you get this middle information? Whoa. Who's in the middle of this information that you just got?
Whoa.
Yes, yes. And there's this contrast between euangelion and anagelon. Bad news brings sorrow. Good news causes joy. For the word carries power and affects what it proclaims. Hence, the bearer of bad news is often guilty of the misfortune which he announces. In the Septuagint, another place where this word is used, this anagelon, is actually in Genesis 9:22, the story of the post-flood, when the ark is now on land, and Noah drinks the fresh grapes and gets drunk. Genesis 9:22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and announced it to his brethren. Published it, in a sense. Announced it, proclaimed this negative or in the midst news to his brothers. You know, Ham declared this information. Ham could have just covered him. He could have said to his brothers, come, let's go cover our father's nakedness. But he proclaimed this. He had this information he was proclaiming. Whereas euangelion, which is the gospel, is a sense of victorious news. See, we are, as believers in Jesus, we are partakers of the victorious news.
Yes. Yes.
Not in the midst information news.
Yeah, right.
And the source, or in the midst, or in the middle of the negative reports, is ultimately the deceiver. Really, where did Adam ultimately get this? Who told him?
Yeah.
If there's a who, it was the serpent.
Yeah.
And there must have been a certain darkness in Ham that made Ham declare and announce this information. God is in the center of announcement of good news.
Yeah.
And it just as a reminder to us. We're celebrating baptism today. We're going to have Patty's baptism and Elena's baptism. Guess who's in the center of that good news?
Yeah.
We know that it's Messiah that's in the center of that good news.
Yeah.
And it's in this time where we have a lot of other information and news that's not victorious.
That's right.
We're thrown information in this day. And it's important how we live with what we are receiving. See, if you're receiving negative news, you become responsible for it. I'm going to say that again. If you're viewing or watching negative news, in some ways you become responsible for it. You know, we're probably all guilty of this, but I want to just warn us. We need to be careful in these days.
Yeah.
We really need to be careful.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Mm-hmm. I don't want to exactly step on toes, but I'm going to go here, okay? I don't want to touch the presidential debate, okay? Because I think we all are grieved by the tone of that debate. We had a small group Bible study at Agape on Wednesday, and I came home and my son asked me, or texted me and asked me if I was watching the vice presidential debate. And I wasn't at the time. I turned it on for a little while. And obviously the vice presidential debate was much, much more civil. But you know, after watching a few minutes, I thought to myself, I don't know that I really need this. I mean, it's not going to change anything in me. And I don't need know if I need to hear this information. Because then I become responsible for it. And that information starts to affect me. We need to be in the victorious news of the gospel. One of the characteristic differences between world news, negative news, news that ultimately often has the enemy in the center, and the good news, is the good news is regularly accompanied with joy. I'm going to say that again. The good news is regularly accompanied with joy. I want to read just a couple of scriptures on this. Well, the New Covenant announcements have joy, truth, and the reality of future events. You know, some of the information we get in the world may or may not turn out to be true. I mean, that's part of this whole season that we're in. It's interesting. I have a good friend who is a believer, and we kind of meet on a lot of issues. We're kind of on the same wavelength. And he was saying, in reference to the virus, to the coronavirus, one of the things that he said, and I thought it was so powerful, he said the reality for us as believers is that really nobody really knows. The medical profession has been saying things, and it hasn't been exactly like they're saying it. It's definitely a true virus, and it's truly affecting people. But in terms of how it's going to transpire in the future, nobody really knows. When God announces the good news, when he says it's going to happen, it is going to happen. So from Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. Then the angel said to them, and by the way, both of these words have this root of angel, which is messenger. Yeah. They're basically, it's either middle messenger or in the midst messenger, or it's good news or victorious news. Actually, Eon is actually victory news. In the midst news or victory news or announcement.
I'll take victory.
Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men."
Hallelujah.
So much information of today ends up nowhere. The good news is eternal.
Yes.
And then from Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. This is the Magi. After they've left Jerusalem and they're going to find Jesus, the baby Jesus. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy.
Yeah.
This is just one of, you know, Pastor Art's things. You know, the scripture does not use superlatives on top of superlatives very often. It says tov ma'od, very good, in Genesis once. There's a passage in Philippians that actually uses 3 to 4 superlatives in terms of Paul saying that to go and be with Christ is very much more better. This is a triple. Exceeding great joy.
Yeah.
Going to see the star and going to see Jesus born on earth. Exceeding great joy for the wise men. God's good news brings exceeding great joy.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yes.
And one more. Going back slightly before the announcement of the Magi to Zechariah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Zach. Good to see you. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. This is Luke 1:13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. That's actually 3 there too. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth.
Yeah.
The good news is accompanied by joy, often great joy, exceeding great joy. So why are we spending so much time in the news? Does the news bring you exceeding great joy?
No.
I'm going to say that again. Does the news bring us exceedingly great joy? Amen. But you know, when we spend time in the good news, it brings us exceeding great joy. So you know, we're ending today the Feast of Tabernacles. In a sense, we're ending the fall feasts. We're leaving this holiday season. And we're actually about to begin another holiday season. And I'm happy I'm free here at Sanctuary Messianic. Some Messianic congregations, they went like this. But we're entering into Thanksgiving season, and then we're entering into Christmas season. And you know, there may be, in reference to Christmas, there may be some, sometimes we're struck by some of the non-biblical aspects of Christmas, or some of the pagan backgrounds. Yet, what is one of the characteristics of the season?
Joy.
The
songs. Songs, and what are the songs full of?
Joy.
Joy, because it's telling us about the good news. The message that Jesus was born is good news. It's victorious news, and it's full of joy.
Yes.
So, the emphasis on joy and celebration is indicative of the good news.
Yeah.
So let us be ones that are filled with joy because we're filled with time with the good news, the victorious news. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Elohai. Our Father, our King, our God. Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. Yeshua, the Messiah, Prince of Peace. Ruach HaKodesh, Ezratenu, Holy Spirit, our Helper. What else do we need?
Yeah.
What else do we need but the Triune God?
Yeah.
We need nothing else. Forgive us for desiring something other than you. Forgive us for being attracted to anything else. And give us wisdom and guidance in this day, in the things that we spend our time in. Redeem our time, for the days are evil. We thank you for the great joy that we have as believers. And we bless everyone here. Bless each one. We pray that as we We celebrate baptism today. That our, every single one of us, would find our being that much more identified with your death and your resurrection, Messiah. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.